Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in today's gospel, we ponder all that you did and said, and all that you chose not to do and not to say. We know that it is by your cross that we are freed from guilt and sin and set right with God, your Father and our Father. Help us to understand more of this great mystery and to follow where he has led. Amen. While on holiday in France a few years ago, our family were in the beautiful medieval town of Dinan. And we were looking for somewhere to eat. And we found this lovely cafe. And we were just finishing off our galette, our pancake. And the wife of the proprietor came over to a French family who were at a table next to us. And then a great argument suddenly kicked off between this lady and the guests. The peace was shattered. There were raised voices, in French, of course. I understood nothing, but I understood everything, if you know what I mean. The peace was shattered. There was shouting and slamming of doors and tears. And it turned out that the family on the next table had been using their mobile phone on the speakerphone. Which was against the wishes of the cafe owners. And the gist of the message was, when you're in my place, then you follow my rules. So that's what it was all about. Anyway, all adds to the joy of a summer holiday, doesn't it? Well, that argument came out of the blue, and we didn't know where to look. What about this incident with Peter and Jesus? What does this have to say to us? Well, we know that it wasn't quite the same. It wasn't a shouting match between Peter and Jesus. But we can see, can't we, that they're not talking the same language. They're not on the same wavelength. Moments before, just as in that cafe, everything was calm. If you rewind a few verses, and we explored, didn't we, last Sunday, the verses that precede this, rewind a few verses, and Peter was held up as a model disciple, saying of Christ, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus affirmed him, saying, "Blessed are you, Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." All seemed well and good. But not long after comes this exchange between Peter and Jesus. This disagreement, and the peace was shattered. As Jesus spells out clearly to Peter and the disciples what lies ahead for him, that the cross is on the horizon. Jesus told his disciples that he must make the journey to Jerusalem, to suffer many things at the hands of powerful men, to be killed, and to be raised again on the third day. Imagine how you would have thought if you were in Peter's shoes. You love Jesus. You see the crowds following him. You think, this cannot be so. So Peter, understandably, tries to take Jesus to one side. Tries to say, no, Jesus, you've got it all wrong. This should not, this will not happen to you. And Jesus, who has just blessed Peter and affirmed him, now says to him, get behind me, Satan. A harsh word. Peter, the rock, had become a stumbling block in Christ's way. Yes, they were not speaking the same language. Peter was speaking the language of self-preservation, survival. But Jesus was speaking the language of self-denial, self-giving, self-sacrifice. And we sympathize with Peter. We know that this is in the context of suffering for being Christ or suffering for being a Christian. But we can broaden it and we can shine this light on our own experiences of suffering and those of our family. So we sympathize with Peter, because when we or our loved ones are plunged into the waters of unexpected or undeserved suffering, what words do we find? What do we say? We might be tempted with Peter to resist and say, this cannot be. There must be another way. There must be a way out of pain and loss, a way around it, to pray, God forbid. And this is natural. This is our self-preservation talking. It's our human way of thinking. With Peter, we don't want ourselves or our friends or loved ones to face such trials, whatever they may be. And we struggle to find the right words. Maybe others have unwittingly said unhelpful things to you in your pain. Words don't come easy, and it's all too easy to say the wrong thing. But then we might not say anything at all. And to say nothing may be worse. Avoidance is not helpful, is it? So we search for words with meaning. How many times have you stood in the shop that sells greeting cards, trying to find a card for that person that just says what you want it to say? The card with just the right message. Let me share with you some examples of words you find in greetings cards for those facing difficulty. One of them says, good things are going to happen. Good things are going to happen. Peter might have said that to Jesus. It's an optimistic message, but there is no guarantee that good things are going to happen when there is a cross to be faced, a cross on the horizon. Another greeting card says, here is a wish that the world will be kind to you today and tomorrow and every day. Well, that is wishful thinking. We know the reality is very different, that we live in a fallen world. And what kind of world would it be anyway if it was perfect every day? What would we learn? How would we grow? And what about this suggestion found in a card? Life is tough. Times are hard. I can't offer you more than this crummy card. Well, it's honest, isn't it? But it's bleak. It's bleak. And the last example, thinking of you. Each day you're learning more about your strength and your courage. For me, that's more like it. That doesn't try to paint a perfect picture or deny what's happening, but it does speak of strength and courage. And remember that Jesus himself sought such strength and courage in the Garden of Gethsemane. He pleaded, "Father, take this cup away from me. Take this cup of suffering away." And eventually, with acceptance and serenity, his prayer changed. "Yet, not my will, but your will be done." His prayer, "God, get me out of this," became, "God, get me through this. Get me through this." And deep down, we know that which cannot be changed must be faced. That which cannot be changed has to be faced and eventually accepted by God's grace. It's a very hard lesson to learn. I'm not saying that suffering and trials are God's will for us. But in this fallen, broken world, life itself brings pain. But God can bring us close to himself in these times and turn, transform pain to blessing and bring good out of very difficult situations. God transforms it with his love, just as he transformed the cross from a symbol of cruel execution into a symbol of love and self-giving. Jesus is with us in these trials, and we are given the strength to say, "Not my will be done, but yours." And we hear God say to us, "Let it be so for now. Let it be so for now. I am with you." This is our great hope, that God and others are with us, are for us. And that's really what any greeting card is trying to say, however much it fails. I'm with you. I'm holding you. But better than the words of those greeting cards, I came across these prayerful words written by a Christian. "I came to the swift, raging river, and the roar held the echo of fear. O Lord, give me wings to fly over, if you are, as you promised, quite near." But he said, "Trust the grace I am giving, all pervasive, sufficient for you. Take my hand, we will face this together. But my plan is not over, but through. Now we are speaking God's language. That is how we interpret our trials. Not over, not round, not under, but through. That's how God works. God didn't stop his beloved son Jesus from dying on the cross. He raised him from the dead to new life. And if I speak of the cross, I must also speak of the resurrection, the great hope to new life, starting now. New life follows old. And this is the template for the Christian life. No cross, no crown. It's a hard teaching, but it's an ancient path, and it is the path that the saints of God have trodden for centuries. And Jesus says to you and to me this morning, get behind me. Get behind me. Follow me. You're in my cafe. Follow my ways. And it's the way of self-denial. It's the way of losing our life that we might find it in the end. It is the way of humble obedience. And isn't that where we want to be? As hard as it is, we can say yes to this grown-up gospel. Peter himself didn't learn the lesson straight away. In self-preservation, he would, when the pressure was on, hide and even deny knowing his Lord 3 times when Jesus was arrested. But Peter did eventually learn, and eventually, yes, was led where he did not want to go. And he died a similar death to the glory of God. A little of us has to die every day. It is the radical command of the Christian life. So in this week ahead, in the things that we are facing, may we remember this encounter between Jesus and Peter. It is the truth of the gospel. It is the best way of understanding ourselves and our God. It is the best way of accepting how things are and how things will be. May we yield ourselves to this grown-up gospel. Take up our cross and follow Christ into new life, knowing that he will be with us. He will bring us through. We will overcome. We will rejoice. Thanks be to God. Amen. A moment of quiet prayer as we listen for that still, small voice. Thank you, Lord, that you hear these prayers for ourselves and answer them according to your good and perfect will and according to your timing. Amen.